Wish to extend a Christian greeting this morning in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one. Also bring greetings from our church at home, Maysville Christian Fellowship. Thankful for the privilege of being here. Brother Dave made the remark that I came here to preach. Well, I didn't really come to preach, but I'm willing to. So, as I was pondering some things, felt led to speak on a subject that I don't know. I wasn't sure how to title it quite, but I finally just titled it Brethren That Dwell Together in Unity. And I'm thinking more of our local congregation, Brethren That Dwell Together in Unity. Before I get into that, I had just was thinking about our Sunday school lesson on rest. And probably just share two experiences, hopefully quickly, in my own life, and to glorify God. One, we were in Cuba the last time. We had some setbacks there. Our luggage didn't come in the first day, and the other two brethren that were to accompany us weren't able to make it till the next day, till the same day as our luggage came in. And then on top of that, we wanted to get an early start the next morning, and on top of that, about 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the morning, somebody stole the tire off their rental car. Took the wheel and tire off the car. And we thought we had about enough setbacks. But I was challenged and encouraged and humbled. The owner of the rental house, I heard her telling her daughter, she said, here we are all in a stew. He said, they just take it like it's everyday thing. Well, she probably didn't see how I felt inside. But I say that to the glory of God. I say that as a reflection on rest. When we are in God's will, we can have that rest in spite of the situations around us. And the people can see it. And another was yesterday, working on my father-in-law's van, and I'm not sure what happened, but the engine went out, and I can testify that God has given me rest. It possibly my fault. I don't know. I had worked on it, and I'm not sure what happened. But may God help us to have that rest as we face life. And just felt led to share that before I go into the message. Trust I'm not taking away from anything that was shared. But as I think of the title, Brethren That Dwell Together in Unity, we have that verse in Psalm 133. I thought I'd read the first three verses, the whole chapter, actually, of Psalm 133. And then I'd like to look at a little at what unity means. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, I'm not sure that I can understand all these word pictures real well, but it's telling us it's something pleasant, it's something beautiful, it's something wonderful, it's something that catches the world's attention. Now, it talks there about dew in verse 3, and I never thought about it as much when we lived in East, but in Missouri, we have dry times, and we have times when we don't get. Sometimes in the summertime, we don't get much rain. And sometimes we don't get any. But I have been so amazed that if there is dew every morning, the grass stays green. We don't have rain. We might not have rain for a month. But if there's dew, the grass stays green. And I'm blessed with that. And I think that's what this is saying here. It talks about the dew. And the dew is a blessing. The dew is something that gives life. And it talks here about dew of Hermon, and as the dew descended upon the mountains. Like I said, I'm not sure that I understand everything, and maybe my figure of speech isn't quite, but I've just been blessed by the fact that do is something that gives life. So unity, is it giving life? Is the unity we experience, is it giving life? And I like to look at a few definitions. Well, I say definitions, not really definitions. There's word pictures in Romans 12, verse 5, and also in 1 Corinthians that I think tell us what God expects from unity and what it means. Romans 12, verse 5 says, "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." That doesn't give much room for individuality or individualism, does it? We being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now, how does our body work? Our bodies have various members, right? We have fingers, we have eyes, we have ears, we have toes, we have feet. And those members all work together, don't they, to make us be able to accomplish something. And if we hurt ourselves, our other members, if I hurt this finger, my other members will try to protect it what they can. We are members one of another. Unity. Are we finding it that way? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. Gives us another word picture. I didn't look up the word in the dictionary. Possibly I should have. But I felt like these verses give credence and give direction. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17. "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Are we? Are we partakers of Christ? Shouldn't that make it easier for us to dwell together in unity, to work together, to agree with each other, to just be humble and workable? Also look at St. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus talks about unity there. And then I'd like to look at some things that should draw us together. You know, in life sometimes there's differences. Some of us can maybe manage money better. Some of us have more than others. Some of us can do more things. Some of us, you know, in the world, the drive is to climb higher than anybody else at the expense of others. How is it with us in the church? Are we looking out for each other? St. John 13, 34, 35. Jesus says here, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Then he says something very profound, and something that sometimes we miss. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Does he say, "By how faithful you attend church?" Does he say, "By how faithful you follow the standard?" And I'm not knocking any of these, understand me. But he says, "If ye have love one for another." So our working together, our love for each other, our unity as brethren and sisters is going to show the world God. Going to show the world Jesus. It says, "They shall know that ye are my disciples because ye have love one for another." Doesn't leave much room for, like the world does, this person, you know, puts out his propaganda that he's the best for this and knocks the other person, and you know, then vice versa, and it just goes on and on. Or they, you know, there's wars. Look at, you know, Ukraine and Russia and Israel and Gaza and all that. Well, we say we'd never do that. And I trust we don't. But don't we struggle sometimes to work together in unity? In smaller ways, maybe. May God help us too. Maybe you don't. Maybe you all have figured all that out and know, and it's all okay. But I was just thinking about some things that should draw us together, some things that put us on the same level. You know, if we look at our finances and we look at maybe the vehicles we drive and some of those things, maybe we are a little different level at some times. And maybe we make more of it than we should. But you know, all of us as Christians, and I'm talking to Christians because I'm talking about the brotherhood, we're lost, headed for destruction. Not one of us is any different. Not one of us can say that, well, my money is going to save me, is going to keep me from destruction. That's not the case. We were all headed for destruction, and we were bought with a price. And let's look at that a little bit. Let's look at the salvation and how it brings us together. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23. I'm going to have a few verses to read. You can follow with if you care to. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. Ye are bought with a price," was the part I wanted there. We were lost. We were headed for destruction. Every one of us. We were bought with a price, and we've accepted that offer that God has for us. That in itself should draw us together. We're all on the same level. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." We're all in this same, we've all been sprinkled. We're all in the same battle, we could say. So therefore, we don't have room to think that, oh, this person's up here and this person's down here, or I'm up here, and you know, and everybody's got to listen to me. That shouldn't be our desire. May God help us to just serve him faithfully and recognize that without him, we would be nothing. When Hebrews there, I was going to read a few more verses, and we picked out 22, but let's read 16 to 25 there in Hebrews 10. It says, "But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac." I'm in the wrong place, I'm sorry. I'm in chapter 11. Somehow I got the wrong spot. Verse 16. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And then having an high priest over the house of God, then let us draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Am I willing to help and exhort my brother? It says, as we see the day approaching. We all know that the end of time is nearing. We don't know when it's going to be. Are we assembling ourselves together? Are we exhorting one another? Are we working together in unity? Are we dwelling together in unity? We have a reason. We were lost. We've been saved. Romans 6 gives us another description or another thought on why we should be unified or to help draw us together. Romans chapter 6, verse 17 to 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Remember, ye were the servants of sin, but now ye have obeyed. So again, we're all on the same level. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We can all relate to that, can't we? We had things in our lives and we served ourselves, we served our flesh, we served Satan, and the end of that thing was death. But God saved us. We've accepted his offering, and now we are serving God. We have life within, and that all should bring us together. It says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. What a blessing. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're made free. We can work together. We have a purpose, and the purpose is the same. Ephesians 2, verse 8. Again, something to draw us together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It's not ourselves. It's not of ourselves. It is only by the grace and mercy of God. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And we'll go ahead and read. I'll read verses 4 through 9. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when ye were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I mentioned our money. And our works don't save us either. What mention was made this morning that works follow salvation. But the works don't bring salvation. So it should put us all on the same level, spiritually and in life, that we don't have room to say, well, I'm a little better than so-and-so. Sometimes we do that. And as Christians, as Mennonites, sometimes I think we need to be careful. We do that to those around us that maybe haven't had the opportunities we have. We tend to feel ourselves a little better. And while I don't think we need to live the life that they have lived, if it's a life of debauchery, we don't have to have lived that. But were it not for God, we could be in the same place. And I think we need to understand that. I'm just throwing this out as a challenge to reach out to those around us and to realize that because I haven't been there, I'm not really better than they are. It takes us, I was lost just like they are, and God saved me. He can save them. We need to reach out. And I think it's going to affect our witness and how we reach out to those around us. All right, another thing that should draw us together is God. Let's look at what God has said and his presence, his encouragement. We'll look at Joshua. And Joshua 1 verse 9. And we think of how what God said to him and how God would say the same thing to us. We talked about in Sunday school class, we talked a little about rest and yet laboring and kind of being diligent. You know, that rest is a different rest than just sitting back and relaxing. And I think God has realized that there's a battle. There's a battle. Satan would have our souls as well. And God has given us what it takes. But God says here to Joshua in Joshua 1:9, and I'd just like to encourage each of us with that. It says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And God said this to Joshua. But I think God is saying that to each of us here this morning, each one of us. Shouldn't that draw us together? We face life and we have our struggles. You know, each of us have our different set of struggles. You know, Brother Reuben's lost their barn and losses. Maybe some have lost children, you know, had miscarriages or who knows? Disappointments and things happen in life that we can't control. But God knows and God is there. That should draw us together, recognize that we serve the same God, and God is in control, and God desires for us to be faithful. Also in Exodus 33, God makes a statement to Moses, and I've often been blessed with that. And as we face the future, we don't know what the future holds for us, so we look at the political situation and the how fragile or how explosive maybe it is at times. But we know God, and that should draw us together and help us to live together in unity. In Exodus 33, verse 14, God says to Moses, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." My presence shall go with you. And brethren and sisters, this morning, as we face life, as we work together as brethren, as we desire to dwell together in unity, God is saying, "My presence shall go with thee." Should draw us together. We have God. We have his presence. In Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus makes this statement. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And if he's in the midst of two or three, he's in the midst of 100. He's in the midst of 200. God is here in our midst today, and he's with us as we face life. God directs and cares for each one of us. Are we experiencing that? Are we being faithful? And then along with that, we have the promise of the same reward, do we not? You know, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 5 years, if you've been a Christian 1 year, if you've been a Christian 1 month, if you've been a Christian 30 years, the promise is still the same. I know according to the world today and their way of working, you know, I can't think of the word. You know, if you've been worked at a place for 1 month, you don't have the rights that a person did that worked there 5 years. There's a, you know, they have levels of, but it's not that way in the kingdom of God. We have the same reward. And let's look at Acts 20, verse 32, thinking about the same reward. That should draw us together, help us recognize that we are, none of us is better than the other, but that we need to work together and we have the same God. We have the same salvation. We need that salvation. Acts chapter 20. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. To give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. We have that inheritance. Have that reward. 1 Peter 1 talks about the reward. 1 Peter 1, verse 4 through 7. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That reward is reserved in heaven. You know, there's another place David, I think, says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Or Paul said that, I believe. So are we looking to that inheritance? Are we remembering that our brethren have the same inheritance? Doesn't that make a difference how we view our brethren when we start thinking that, well, they have the same right we do? You know, it's not something special that only I have, but that all together we have that same reward. And then in Revelation 7, 13 to 17, I'm still talking about the reward, describing it maybe a little more. Revelation 7. Thinking of verse 14 especially, but reading 13 through 17. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And he said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Again, it isn't something just for me or for you or for you, but all of us together receive this reward. God is going to do that for each of us. Shouldn't that humble us and draw us together? Thinking of verse 16, you know, it's interesting how difference in climate or whatever can change our perspective. Here, probably a month ago, around there, we had some real warm days there in Missouri. And we tried to stay out of the sun. You know, here it talks about neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. And I just had to think about that. There were some days it was so warm. We wanted to stay out of the sun because you got out in the sun, it was too hot. It was too warm. But here the other morning, and that was when it was, you know, maybe almost 100 degrees and high humidity. But here the other morning, well, it was actually Thursday morning before we left. I was helping my son, and he had to work on something. He said, can't we move these outside? He said, the sun just feels so good. And it was a morning that maybe it was 48 degrees or something like that. And when we got up, it wasn't that. It was probably in the 60s there when we got to work. But it was just interesting that in that respect, perspective makes a difference. Then we wanted the sun. We enjoyed the sun. But here in heaven, it's saying that, and I think it's talking about the fact that it won't be uncomfortable. The sun's not going to be too hot. I don't know how it's all going to be. But it just says here, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. The reward is going to be perfect. And the reward is going to be for all of us. As we are faithful. What a blessing. May God help us to be faithful. In closing, I'd like to look at two verses. Talking about the salvation and giving it, just reminding us and inviting each of us to Christ and to be part of this unity, the brethren. And in John 3:16, we know the verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a verse. And then in Matthew 11, I just love to put these two together. In Matthew 11, verse 28, and it's for each one of us. May God help us to do that. And if we haven't found that peace, we haven't found that rest, we haven't found that unity, God has the invitation open for each one of us. He says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.